It is a distant memory now, but in the 1970s, Iran and Israel were close allies. Their friendship was forged in mutual interests: energy security, military and intelligence sharing, a joint bulwark against hostile Arab regimes, and Soviet influence in the region. In 1979, the Islamic Revolution changed all that. The Iran War might now be hastening new regional alliances impelled by shared interests. Our reporter Taylor Luck writes today from Hale and Riyadh about the insouciance of Saudi citizens toward the war. Yet the outlines of change are visible. Both Saudi Arabia and Israel desire to see the Islamic Republic destroyed. The kingdom is also working with Pakistan, Egypt, and Turkey on a ceasefire plan. Stay tuned for another piece from Taylor on the factors that might draw Saudi Arabia into the conflict or shift the balance of regional influence through peace. It's Tuesday, March 31st. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kurt Schillinger. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers from around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Texas could soon be required to air condition every prison cell in the state. A trial began in federal court on Monday in a lawsuit brought by a coalition of inmates who argue that extreme heat in state prisons constitutes cruel and unusual punishment prohibited by the Eighth Amendment. Nearly 70% of Texas inmates, roughly 90,000 prisoners, live without air conditioning, according to legal filings. Appeals are likely to follow, but the suit could ultimately have national implications. Spain barred U.S. planes involved in the Iran war from its airspace. The Monday announcement comes after Spain declared Washington could not use jointly operated military bases in the war, according to the Associated Press. Spanish Defense Minister Margarita Robles called the war in Iran profoundly illegal and profoundly unjust. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump said on social media that if a deal is not soon reached in Iran, the United States will react by blowing up and completely obliterating all their electric generating plants, oil wells, and Karg Island, and possibly all desalination plants, which we have purposely not yet touched. Also, public transit is now free in parts of Australia amid rising fuel costs. Victoria will offer free travel for a month, while Tasmania will make buses and ferries free for 3 months. Other states in Australia have rejected similar steps. Fuel prices have jumped about 40% since the Iran war began. Victoria's plan will cost about $48 million in lost revenue, according to Premier Jacinta Allen. The federal government plans to cut fuel taxes by half for 3 months to ease costs. Globally, other countries such as Egypt, Ethiopia, and the Philippines have introduced measures to reduce fuel use. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. In stark contrast with residents of other Arab countries in the Gulf region, Saudis exhibit a decidedly blasé attitude toward the U.S.-Israel war with Iran. Conversations focus on jobs and the economy and reveal a calm faith in their government's ability to provide security. Taylor Luck reports from Hale and Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, for The Monitor. Pakistan is leading the charge to bring the United States and Iran to the negotiating table, leaning on a budding friendship with Washington and deep ties to Tehran. But its role as mediator faces headwinds. Hassan Ali reports from Islamabad for The Monitor. President Donald Trump used an executive memorandum to get around congressional gridlock and pay airport security workers. But the Constitution gives the legislative branch exclusive responsibility to appropriate funds, a power presidents of both parties have eroded. Contributor Ross Herbert reports from Washington for the Monitor. Cesar Chavez, an icon in the labor rights movement who was revered by millions of Latinos and others, now is accused of sexual abuse of girls and women. The allegations, coming decades after his death, profoundly complicate his legacy. Harry Brunius reports from Tampa, Florida, for the Monitor. The Artemis II mission will take astronauts beyond low Earth orbit for the first time in 50 years. This next era of the U.S. space program marks a step toward building a permanent presence in outer space. Henry Gass reports for the Monitor. Geopolitics feels fraught these days, even among the closest of allies like Canada and the U.S. But the Artemis II moon launch is a reminder of how nations continue to work more closely together than ever. Audrey Thiebert reports from Boston for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on children's innocence and the Iran War. One theme of the Iran War has been rising concern, from nearly all sides, for children. More to the point, the concern is for how to safeguard their inherent innocence and propensity for peace. The latest example focuses on Iran's new campaign to enlist 12- and 13-year-olds in war-related roles, such as security patrols. A teachers' union in Iran has condemned the regime's militarization of childhood. It warns about placing children in harm's way, which would be a violation of international child rights. For its part, the United States was roundly criticized after an American missile struck near an Iranian girls' school February 28, resulting in more than 170 deaths. The White House claims children are not U.S. military targets. Yet the Pentagon has launched a formal investigation of the incident, and the UN Human Rights Council has agreed to examine the killings. Meanwhile, Israel has appealed to the United Nations to respond to Iran's alleged indiscriminate missile attacks on innocent civilians and children. And on March 3rd, U.S. First Lady Melania Trump chaired a meeting of the Security Council on the general topic of children and education during conflict. The Iran war was top of mind, starting with opening comments by UN Undersecretary General Rosemary DiCarlo. When conflicts erupt, children are among those most severely affected, she said. We have been reminded of this truth over the last 2 days. Schools in Israel, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Bahrain, and Oman have closed and moved to remote learning owing to the ongoing military operations in the region. One reason for this strong spotlight on children and war lies in the expanding set of treaties and global norms over decades to protect youth in conflicts. The UN has found that many armed militias, such as in Colombia, are willing to accept that the innocence of children requires they not be used as soldiers. This tendency might indicate a growing recognition that nurturing a child's expression of innocence can help lessen the after-effects of a war. The focus on children has also sometimes helped end wars. In recent decades, outcry over the use of child soldiers during conflicts in Sierra Leone and Liberia, for example, raised pressure on belligerents to compromise. Sierra Leone's 1991 to 2002 civil war led to the first conviction for the war crime of recruiting children, as well as attention on the rehabilitation of former child soldiers. At the same time, many current wars, including in Myanmar and Yemen, still involve children as combatants. In Iran, many parents accept the regime's recruitment of children. Still, the worldwide attention on the issue might turn public attitudes to further support the safeguarding of children's innocence and perhaps help turn the tide of the war. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how true happiness comes from expressing love and goodness to others. And the ability to do this comes from finding our good, spiritual nature, which is innately ours from God. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Alyssa Britton, Mackenzie Farkas, and Victoria Hoffman.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.